Hey everybody, and welcome to the Advanced Improv lesson. This is lesson number 3. So up to this point, we've done the rootless chord voicings for Beautiful Love in the left hand. We've also gone through a bunch of different scales that you can use to improvise over each of those chords. Now, I understand that the theory behind some of those scales might be confusing to some of you. Remember that we will have some live classes that you can ask your questions in. But then I would also recommend that you don't overthink the theory, okay? There's so much theory involved in music. It's much better, in my opinion, okay, that just play the examples. Get the examples down, get it under your fingers, and get it in your ears, right? Focus more attention on that than trying to understand, well, why exactly is that note, and if it's over there, and if this is that, and that's that, because you can get so bogged down, you go down this rabbit hole of trying to understand every theoretical concept. And quite honestly, sometimes some things like, they just work and they just work, you know? I remember when I was at Berkeley, we took a class on analyzing Johann Sebastian Bach's Bach chorales. And every now and again, we would come to a section and be like, well, why does this work? And the teacher's basically like, well, Bach broke the rules, you know? It's like he broke the rules right there, and he did something different, right? So there isn't always an answer for every single theoretical concept. So I'm always of the mindset, just do it. Get it under your fingertips, get down the technique, all right? Get down the scales, and then after you can play it, then there's always time afterwards to go through and really dig into the analysis. Now, we focus on scales. Today, we're going to be focusing more on arpeggios. So when we think about improvisation, the two biggest raw material items that we have is scales and chord tones. Now, an arpeggio is just chord tones, just not played, you know, like if I have like my E minor 7 flat 5, rather than playing like that, that's an arpeggio. So I'm basically, instead of playing all of the chord tones simultaneously, I play them one at a time. Now, it doesn't have to be in order either. I could do stuff like that as well. It still would be considered an arpeggio, all right? So what I've done is I've written out this exercise, and I'm not gonna lie to you, it's a pretty challenging exercise, all right, to go through. What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna go through and I'm gonna play the entire exercise for you along with the band, and then we will break it down step by step, all right? So here we go. I'm playing with the 100 beats per minute play-alone track. So, not too bad. Couple of mistakes in there, actually. Especially this second ending here should be. But we'll go through that when we break down each measure. All right. Now, first of all, you see that this exercise is consistent eighth notes. And that's probably going to be challenging for some of you, all right? If you find that that's a little bit too challenging, you don't have to play it as consistent eighth notes. What you could always do is you could probably stop, you could just do like the first two beats, all right? So rather than doing Rather than doing that, you could do. So you see how I can kind of break it up and I don't have to play the entire measure, right? I'd rather see you be able to play it in time with the band and at least keep the left hand going even if you have to cut out in the right hand, right? So try and keep that, at least the left hand chords going, right? All right, so now let's break this down. Looks like we'll end up doing about two measures at a time here. So now, in terms of fingering, no, I'm not going to write in fingering because the fingering is going to be different for everybody, right? Some students might find that certain fingering might work for them, whereas it's not going to work for other students. So I'm going to tell you the fingering. You can write it in, right? And that little bit of writing will actually be good. It'll help to lock this in for you a little bit more as well. Or you can come up with your own fingering, right? Completely up to you. Typically, it's going to be 5-3-2-1 or 4-3-2-1, all right? So here, I'm starting with my fourth finger. And then 5-3-2-1, right? And then here, I would probably come in 2-3-4-1-2-4. All right, and then I'd hit my fourth finger, 4-3-2-1, then 5-3-2-1, okay? All right, so that's the first three measures there. Let me just, okay, so let's do that again. 2-3-4-1-2. You can also hit 5 there as well. 5-3-2-1, 5-3-2-1. Okay. Next measure, the A flat 7. 5-3-2-1, 4-3-2-1. All right, so let's do it from the beginning. You're going to want to print this out because obviously this is like zoomed in a certain area, so make sure you have this printed out because I'm going to keep going back to like, you know, previous measures. So back to measure one. So let's try it again. Ready, go. All right, now I typically end with that thumb on the G flat. So 5-3-2-1, 5-3-2-1, right? Or 4-3-2-1, right? So I'm hitting my thumb on the A flat there. I'm sorry, the G flat. When I go down to G, I slide my thumb up. So 1-2-3-5, 1-2-3-5. And then 1-2-3-5. And then come down fourth finger on the C7. Okay. I'm going to talk about the theory behind this after I go through each of these measures. All right, so let's just get this down first of all. On the F, 5-3-2-1, 5-3-2-1, right? And then I'd hit my second finger there, probably 2-3-4-5, and then 1-2-3-5, and then 4-3-2-1, 5-3-2-1, all right? So let's do from the F major again. Sorry. And on the D minor, let's get the D minor there. So this is 4-3-2-1, 5-3-2-1. And then in G minor, 2-3-5-4-2-1. 2-4. You could do that. Let's see, what else could we do here? You can do that as well. So 2-3-4, 2-3-4, 3, and then I come in with my thumb. 1-2-3, 5, and then hit my fourth string on the A flat. 4, 3, 2, 1. So let's go do the B flat here. 4, 3, 2, 1, 5, 3, 2, 1. And then 4, 3, 2, 1, 5, 3, 2, 1. And then let's do the B flat again. 4, 3, 2, 1, 5, 3, 2, 1. E minor 7 flat 5, 3, 2, 1. A 7 flat 9. And then measure 13. Five, three, two, one. And then I would probably come up to 2, 1, 3, 5. So 2, 1, 3, 5. And then 4, 3, 2, 1, 4, 3, 1, 2. Now this one is a little tricky right in here, because you're ending on second finger and you're going up middle finger on A flat. And then I'm hitting thumb, 3, 5. So, middle finger, thumb, middle, pinky, middle, I'm sorry, middle, thumb, middle, pinky, thumb, middle, pinky, middle, and then pinky right there. Okay, so that's the first ending. Well, let's do that from right here. So again, middle finger on the A flat. Thumb, middle, pinky, thumb, middle, pinky, middle, and then 5, 3, 2, 1, 4, 3, 1, 2. The second ending, measure 17, right? You're gonna end up hitting the thumb on the G in measure 9, 10, 11, 12 at the end of that A7 chord. Measure 12 here, let me show you. Here, you're gonna end up hitting the thumb right there on that G. So with the thumb on G, then we have to get to this D minor. I would do second, thumb, middle, pinky, and then 4, 2, 1, 4, and then the B flat, 5, 3, 2, 1, 3, 5, 2, 1, 2, 5, and then on the G7 here, let me show you that one. 2, 5, 4, 2, 1, 2, 3. Okay. All right, so that's all of the notes, all right? Now, again, this is an advanced level, so with the sheet music and me playing it on the video, you should be able to figure out all of this, right? And I just went through, and you kind of have the fingering. Now, let's talk more about the theory and what's going on here, all right? All right, so remember that we can do these upper structures on each of our chords, all right? Now, I've talked about this in the intermediate lesson. I think I did it in the intermediate lesson number, let me see if I can get that for you real quick. Yeah, so if you take a look at the intermediate lesson, lesson three, that's arpeggios, I go through and talk about these upper structures, okay? So basically what's happening is, there's my E minor 7 flat 5. I'm not gonna just keep arpeggiating it like that. Instead, I can go outside of that four note block and I can come up and start to hit some of my upper structures, like my ninth up there or my 11th up there, okay? And then I added a little bit of rhythm to this very first one, just so it didn't start right on the beat. But you see how I'm coming right on down that upper structure to the root position, right? And then, now here, the only thing different I'm adding here is I'm adding that flat 9 in there rather than going right on the arpeggio right away. But you could also look at the arpeggio like this. You could think of the chord like this as well, like it's the flat 9 chord, flat 9, 3rd, 5th, and 7th. Okay, so, I mean, do you see that line? Like, check that line out. This is so beautiful in the simplicity of this line. You look at those notes, what is that? That's your A7 chord with the flat and 9th. And we come back to that A, right? It's just a real sweet line. Now, not to beat you over the head with this, but you could take measures like this and just work these licks. Like this line right here is such a great line over a dominant 7 flat 9 chord, right? So then, if you're gonna do this on another chord, so like let's say you're gonna do it over F7, right? Flat 9, so. Right? Right? So F7, flat 9. You know, to a B flat minor. Right? So I mean, it's such a cool line. You could take these lines. And move them into other keys. There's C7 to F minor, right? So transposing them and moving them into other keys is how you start to take this lick, right, or this idea, and start to bring it into your vocabulary, right? In order for it to be in your vocabulary, you need to use it in many different circumstances. Just like a word. If a word, you only know how to use it in one particular sentence, well then you don't really know the word, do you? You need to be able to use that word in different sentences and in different places, in different situations, in order to really know that, yes, I know what that word means, okay? All right, so anyway, moving on to the D minor 7. Again, what's going on here? This is just your D minor 7 chord, D minor 7 arpeggio, right? Third inversion, root, second, I'm sorry, root, first, second, third inversion. And then coming down to D minor 7 with the upper structure there. So remember, we could do, this is a very good point here, we can arpeggiate our chords just keeping the same basic block structure. So here's D minor, root, 3, 5, 7. I could then go 3, 5, 7, root. 5, 7, root, third. So see how it's still that same D minor 7 structure, right? I'm not moving outside of that. Or I could move outside of that and then start to go to those upper structures, especially 9 and 11. 9 and 11 work great on minor chords. 9 and sharp 11 work great on major chords and on dominant 7th chords, okay? So here I'm mixing the inversion of the D minor 7. So again, this is third inversion of my D minor 7 chord and then coming down to that upper structure, right? So this is where really knowing these chords and really knowing how to move in between these different arpeggios is super important, especially if you want to be able to use them for your improvisation, you know, on the spot. All right, the A flat 7. What's going on here? This is my upper structure again. So you see how I'm using that upper structure. Here's the 13th, the sharp 11, the 9, and I go to the root. And then this is just my basic A flat 7 chord, just like I did in D minor. This is the third inversion, right? So root, first, second, third inversion. So again, another example on how I can mix my upper structures with just a basic arpeggio of my basic chords, okay? But again, like, and remember, you don't have to do them as straight eighth notes. So see how you could change the rhythm around and you can have some fun with that. All right, now on the G minor, pretty simple. Root position and then your upper structure. On the C7, you're starting right on that upper structure. This is really kind of cool. This is really a D7 chord if you look at it in the right hand. So it's 9, sharp 11, 13, and then your root, and then it's coming down. So it's like D7 to C7. All right, and on the F, again, upper structure, to root position. And then on the E minor 7 flat 5, this is just a inversion, right? So first inversion of E minor 7 flat 5, and then I go to just root position, A7. Right? On the D minor now, what is this? This is first, second inversion, two, upper structure with the ninth on the top. And then a G minor. Now this is really kind of interesting because it's really starting with a G minor triad and then it kind of comes down to that 11th there. So rather than going all the way up here and then doing this again, so there's the second two beats is your upper structure, right? Going up to your ninth. But the first two beats here is root 3-5 and we expect it to go to 7, but instead we kind of come down to that 11th and add this nice little passing tone right in there, right? So it kind of creates this nice little line, a little bit more linear, a little bit more flattened out, rather than going up, then coming down, and then going up again, rather than going... kind of just like smooths out that line a little bit. On the B-flat 7, going right on down your B-flat 7 chord, and then your upper structures, right? So 13, sharp 11, 9, and flat 7. When we go back to E minor 7 flat 5, again, upper structures, 9, and then A7 is just my, again, it's my 5th, 3rd, flat 9, and root, okay? I'm sorry, 7th there, 7th, not root. So 5th, 3rd, flat 9, 7th. And then we move to our first ending, upper structures. And again, the second half, right, beats 3 and 4 here, is again an arpeggio, our upper structures, right, but it's not played in order. So it's not this. Instead, right, so you see how I take that upper structure and break it up like that. Just creates a little bit more interest. The G7, right? Here's your upper structure. This is a little bit modified. It really would be kind of like that, right? But instead, I kind of mix together my G7 and the upper structure, right? So. And so this is kind of an interesting use case here. So again, what I'm doing is, this is my G7 chord, but rather than just doing that, especially since I have this like sharp 11 and ninth down there and third and everything, right? I wanted to bring that in on the right hand. So I hit sharp 11, 9, root, and then, let's move this. So this is just an inversion, right, of my B flat 7. And this is really just a B-flat triad. And then when I get back to that A7, again, that inversion of the A7 flat 9 chord, okay? So if I really kind of think about this, right, I kind of think of that as my A7 flat 9 chord, right? Because if I put an A in there, then I can't get the flat 9. You can also look at this as a what? A G diminished chord, right? Or an E diminished chord, C sharp diminished chord, B flat diminished chord, right? It's all symmetrical like that. And that's what's kind of cool about those flat 9 chords. You could use that diminished, those diminished chords in there. Use that half whole diminished scale, right? And so anyway. Now, this one right here is kind of interesting as well, because it goes to the third, to the flat 9, and then it's going to end up on that 7th. You might think that we would go down to the E, right? But instead I go to the F, which is the flat 13. The reason I do that is because it makes a nicer line moving to the G, right? Versus, hear that skip of a minor third there, it just doesn't sound as smooth as. All right, so now let's move on to our second ending. Second ending, pretty much the same. Upper structures, again, you know. And then upper structures for B flat 7. Again, there's your A7 flat 9 arpeggiated. And then on the G7, same idea. So it's upper structures, the 9th, the sharp 11, and the 13th. All right, so what I suggest that you practice is try doing the right hand by itself with the backing track, okay? I did it with the backing track at 100. You could try it at the 80. Let me play a little bit for you so you can hear what that sounds like. Up to the first ending just with the right hand, right? So I would suggest you could play along with me doing it with the backing track, you know, just rewind the video, or you know, get the backing track and do it you know, on your own. Then I would suggest bringing in the left hand chord. So try to get the right hand by itself first. You might want to obviously practice, you know, by itself without the backing track at first, you know, just to make sure you get all these notes, right? And then you're fingering together. And now really try and focus on playing each note correctly, even if it's out of time. So like, I'd rather see that than this. Right, then a bunch of mistakes. Go slow, practice each note, make sure that you're getting each note correct, right, and getting your fingers, and then starting to like really start to feel that the tension start to slip away in your right hand. So like, now, you get situations like that, I would go back to like, say, measure 14. I do that. Oops. So you see how I isolate that? And try to speed it up. So you take a section, you isolate it, and then you work it, speed it up until it starts to feel comfortable under your fingertips. Again, don't overanalyze what you're playing right now, right? Just understand, you're arpeggiating your chord tones or doing your upper structures. So if you want, another good exercise would be to take each one of these chords and just do each of the, so this is just your basic E minor 7 flat 5 chord being arpeggiated up and down. All right, so I'm just going right on up each note of that E minor 7 flat 5 chord. Okay, and if you want, you could put the chord down there. Notice that chord does not match the chord that you're playing here. The reason is this chord in the left hand has some tensions in it. Could you arpeggiate this one? Sure, that's another exercise. another exercise for you. There's tons of exercises, you know, exercises galore here. So you could do that as well. But I suggest just do your basic E minor 7 flat 5 chord in the right hand while doing your rootless chord voicing here in the left hand. All right, now once you're done with that, then you can move on to your upper structures. Now here you could do the flat 13, right? Or, now personally, I only like going up to the 11th on the minor 7 flat 5 chord, because that I don't like either of those two notes. I guess maybe the C is all right, but I just kind of like going up to that 11th. And then I would just sit down and I would, so see how I'm working that one arpeggio, trying to like stay nice and loose with it, trying to break it up. So like, you know, when I move on to the A7, and go to the 5th or the flat 13. The diminished, right, like I did before. Okay. So what I'm doing is I'm going through and I'm just focusing on working each of those arpeggios, doing the chord and arpeggiating the chord, just straight, like, you know, do A7, and then just go up, you know, A7, but then also doing the flat 9, you know, or doing in the, you know, the upper structures. You can do like that kind of stuff as well, sharp 11, flat 13 on the A7. You know, you can have fun with it, and you can change it around, you know, like, to suit your needs. But before you do that, make sure you do the exercise as written, okay? So I definitely suggest play the exercise as written. Try and get it down just the right hand, do it along with the backing track, then try and get the left hand down along with the right hand, again, with the backing track. So the goal is you want to feel very fluid in that right hand. You want those arpeggios to be very fluid, okay? You don't want them to be tense, all right? You don't want to overthink the theory right now, all right? You want to try and understand it, but if there's something you don't quite understand, remember I'm going to be doing those live sessions that you can ask questions, all right? And, you know, sometimes it just takes some time to kind of start to understand the theory as well. So don't get too bogged down with the theory right now, all right? So anyway, that's it. So have fun with this week's exercise. It's quite a bit of information there to take in. So take it slow. You can do it, all right? Stay motivated, stay positive, and I'll see you in the next lesson.